Friends, welcome to another episode of Now's the Time. This is Caleb Succo, your host, coming to you from Odessa, Ukraine, and I'm going to share with you kind of a different, format for the podcast today. Usually, I have some sort of, very specific topic that I bring to you and just focus on that one topic, but today it's kind of, more personal. There's just a number of things that are on my mind, stuff that I want to just share with you and kind of get out there. And so I'm going to be sharing with you a number of things. I want to talk a little bit about some of the books that I'm reading. I want to talk with you a little bit about some of the just regular struggles of ministry, some of the things that God's been teaching me. And yeah, you can just stay along with me and hear about those things today. This is, as I said, the Now is the Time podcast, and it is the podcast where we talk about how we can use our lives right now to worship our God. Because, this is the time that God has given us, and it is a short amount of time, but how we use it right now is a huge impact on how we spend eternity. So, I don't know about you, friends, but I want to use my life fully to worship God. I want to use my life fully to help other people to worship God. And that's really the point of this podcast, to talk about just ways that we can better use our life so that it is a reflection of God's glory, that it brings Him glory and points others to Him, okay? I hope you understand that. I mean, we serve here in Ukraine. And what we do, whether it's preaching the gospel, helping refugees, translation ministries, it's all for that one singular purpose, so that other people would know our God, would worship our God, because He alone is worthy of that worship. And not just because of that, but what happens when we worship God? It brings us the greatest, deepest, longest lasting joy that you can ever imagine. In fact, I had a conversation recently with a guy that I just happened to meet, and he was telling me how in his country, where he comes from, he's not from Ukraine, he said, it's perfect. It's like everything is, people have their house, their car, their job, everything's perfect, but nobody's happy. Oh man, how often is that case? Is that the case in Western countries where people have everything except joy? And that's the point that we're talking about. Without God, without true worship in our lives, we will always be empty. And I'm already getting carried away talking to you about that. Okay, like I said, this is a little bit of a different format for the podcast. It might be a little bit rambling, but there are a couple of specific things that I want to talk to you about. The first one that I should probably get to right away before I forget is the book giveaway. If you listen to the last episode of Now's the Time, Season 2, Episode 5, I promised a free book to anybody that would comment on that post, share it. And so I got a couple of comments, on Facebook and on Twitter. And basically, just randomly here, going to give away two books. And the book is called Fighting Satan. It's a little book. It's about 140 pages. It's a great book. It's by Joel Beek. And so, let's see. We are giving those away today. One is going to TC Avey. Thank you for your comment on the post. And the other is going to Mary Mead. All right. So I want to thank you guys for your comments and for sharing these things. I'm going to be giving away two more books on this episode. Okay. And I will get to that in just a minute. But this book, Fighting Satan by Joel Beek, is going to TC Avey and Mary Mead. So I will contact you and make sure I can get your address so I can send you those books. I hope that they will be a big blessing to you. Okay. And I hope that, if you didn't win the book, you might want to just pick that up on Amazon. There'll be a link there in the show notes for this episode. Okay, and let's talk about the next book on my list here. And that is the book a much larger book, I have to say. It is by J.C. Ryle, and it is called Practical Religion. Oh my goodness, do I love this guy's writing. And I love his beard too, by the way. All these old guys, they had good beards, you know? Actually, the picture of him on the back of this book, he more has like, what do you call it, lamb chops, I guess. But other pictures of him that I've seen, he's got quite a long beard. Anyway, J.C. Ryle, Practical Religion. I've been reading through this book, and I haven't finished it yet. I got this one, I think, from the Shepherd's Conference, and I'm trying not to push my way through it too fast, and I'll tell you why. It is so rich a book, so full of good advice that I just didn't want to go through it too fast because I want to savor it. I want to make sure that I am thinking deeply about some of these things. And so I want to share with you a quote from that book, from the chapter on prayer. Basically, J.C. Ryle breaks this book up. Like it's called Practical Religion. And so it is. It's very practical. And he has a lot of chapters in it. This is over 400 pages. The first chapter, self-inquiry, is hugely, hugely significant. I mean, what is the word I'm looking for? Not condemning, but convicting. Sorry, that's the word I'm looking for. It is hugely convicting and has some great questions to ask yourself about your own spiritual state, your relationship with God, your direction in life. But this chapter I recently read on prayer, I spent some time reading that one, and especially the last section of that chapter where he specifically talks to believers. And again, he asks very, very good questions that we can ask ourselves. And so the question, well, I guess it's a question here. He talks about prayer, and the direction that he takes prayer is he talks about praying against sin in our lives. And as I was reading through that, I thought, man, you know, that's just something that I don't do that often. You know, when I pray, I ask God for things. I pray for my family. I pray for spiritual growth. Pray that God will give me, you know, things like patience and wisdom, stuff like that. Pray for my church. I pray for individuals who I know have great needs. But I don't often simply pray against sin. And I started thinking about, well, you know, I mean, if you look at the Lord's Prayer, you know, Jesus also prayed against, you know, prayed that God would protect from Satan and prayed against sin and temptation. So I think it's a very biblical thing to do. So, without further ado, let me read you this quote about prayer from J.C. Ryle from his book Practical Religion. And the quote goes like this. Have you forgotten the lives that many live? Can we really suppose that people are praying against sin night and day when we see them plunging right into it? Can we suppose that they pray against the world when they are entirely absorbed and taken up with its pursuits? Can we think that they really ask God for grace to serve him when they do not show the slightest desire to serve him at all? Oh no. It is plain as daylight that the great majority of men either ask nothing of God or do not mean what they say when they do ask. Which is just the same thing. Praying and sinning will never live together in the same heart. Prayer will consume sin, or sin will choke prayer. I cannot forget this. I look at men's lives, I believe the few pray. So when I read that quote, it was very convicting to me. Because again, when we have problems with, let's say, a certain sin that kind of keeps tripping us up, oftentimes we look for solutions outside of prayer. And we look for tricks and little things to do to help us, and those things may be helpful. But how much do we just need to come to God in prayer and say, God, help me? Passionately plead with Him to help you overcome a certain sin in your life. And I think it's vitally important. And then not to mention that, but what about praying consistently, daily, fervently, that God would protect you from temptation so that you would not fall into that sin in the first place? And I don't think that this, I know I posted this on Facebook and somebody mentioned that, well, this kind of seems like a, throwing stones, how can we say this about other people? Well, I think that if you look at it in the context of how J.C. Ryle wrote it, it's really written more to everyone. I mean, including himself, that this is a general statement. You can't deny that this statement is true. There are few that pray. And unfortunately, there are few that pray in the church, and there are even fewer that pray really specifically against specific sins in their lives. So I wanted to share that with you. It's definitely been a convicting thing for me, reading about prayer. Also recently reading again through C.S. Lewis's Screwtape Letters. There's been a number of things in there that have popped out to me concerning prayer itself. How dangerous Screwtape thought. And if you're not familiar with Screwtape Letters, Screwtape it's a fictional book. Screwtape is a demon that is writing to his demon in training. And he talks to him about the dangers of prayer. And he talks to him about how to, and I don't have that quote on me right now. I'm reading that one on Kindle, but I'm listening to that on Audible. But it's so interesting how Screwtape talks to him about how he should how the demon under him should work with the person that he's trying to lead away from God and make his prayers superficial, make them super spiritual, make them unconnected with real life, and gives all these tips so that prayers will not really be passionate pleas to a personal God. And so I've been reading through that again too. And by the way, okay, let's stop here for a second and let's just talk for a minute about reading, okay? I've been reading more than usual recently. And I want to encourage you to read. And I think I've mentioned this before, but I think that reading is really a vital aspect to Christian growth. And sure, there are those out there who say we only need the Bible, and we never forget that the Bible is our authority. So when we read other books, they're not authorities, but what they are often is that they are other godly men and women who have been used by the Holy Spirit to understand Scripture, who have written in a way that helps us see how Scripture may apply in daily life and better understand the teaching of Scripture. In fact, really, what it is sermons in print, and it helps us think better, and I think that we as Christians need to think better. And so, a couple of books. Well, like I said, I read that Fighting Satan book this week. Was it this week? Last week, and then this week. Then I've been working on the J.C. Ryle book. Like I said, going through that one more slowly. J.C. Ryle, Practical Religion. Also been going through the letters of Haddon Spurgeon. I'll talk to you a little bit more about that later. Also been reading, the Screwtape Letters. Again, I find that's a book. I've read it before. And I just find it's a book like I like to repeat every few years. And Lewis has such a good grasp on human nature. And even though he wrote that book, how many years ago now? Like 60, 70 years ago? He understands, he has a very good understanding of the heart of man. And if you read the Screwtape Letters, read it very, very thoughtfully, and it's really a primary on sin. That's what it is, okay? How sin works, how the deceptiveness of sin, how so easily and sneakily it creeps into our life without us even knowing it. And he talks specifically about some of those issues, about how it's so important that the person that is being tempted not even know that he's being tempted. And so it's really a primary on the nature of sin. So I highly recommend, if you haven't read the Screwtape Letters, read it, but read it very thoughtfully. It is interesting. It's an interesting read, but read it thoughtfully. And then the final book that I'm working in right now is Neil Anderson's Bondage Breakers. Now, I say that with a caveat, because it is a book that, with any book, I don't always 100% agree with every author. I think you understand that, okay? Even C.S. Lewis, yeah, there's things where we differ, okay? With Bondage Breakers, there's a fair amount in there that I would say I'm not necessarily in agreement with, and may even be dangerous. But I've known about that book. It's not a new book. I've known about that book for a while, and I'm reading it because of some issues that have been brought up in our church, and I need to know how to respond to them. And I would encourage you from time to time to pick up a book that you don't necessarily agree with, because it stretches your thinking, okay? It helps you to analyze your own beliefs in light of the way someone else may see them. And so I'm reading through that, and I'm being careful and noting things. I mean, yeah, there's some good things in there too, obviously. Even in false religions, there's positive things, there's good things, you know. But we have to be very careful and read those books with an analytical, thoughtful, deepful, that's not a word, is it? Deep thinking. And really, really compare it to Scripture. And I think that's a problem that we often have when we read these books, is some people make statements, you know, and you just like take them. You're like, oh yeah, oh, that sounds good. Or they make statements and they put like verses in, you know, in parentheses. And, oh, okay. Well, you know, sometimes you really need to go and look up that verse. It's like, is that really what this verse is talking about or not? Okay. So anyway, those are some of the books that I'm going through, working through, and I'll put links in the show notes to those books so that you can take a look at those books if you want to on Amazon or whatever. Now, I want to also mention, and I've talked about this a little bit before, but a little bit more in depth, that's Charles Haddon's Spurgeon's book on Letters of Charles Haddon Spurgeon. Like I said, I mentioned this before, but one of the reasons that I'm reading it is because I'm becoming more and more convinced of the vital importance of not only reading, but also of writing in the life of the Christian. And for me, you know, I like to write, not necessarily that I like the process of writing, because it's difficult, but I like to write because I like the result. And the result is that writing helps me think through some deep issues, helps me think through some of my theology. But not only that, I view writing as a way to really bless other people. And what has been so significant in reading through the letters of Charles Haddon Spurgeon is how much of his gospel passion comes out in these letters, and what a great blessing that was for other people. And I want you to think about that carefully. In your own devotional life, in your own study, has God been working? Has he been blessing you? And if he has, how are you sharing that blessing with others? And I think that it's so important that we don't just allow that blessing to only be for us. Because whenever God blesses us in whatever way he blesses us, whether it's financial, whether it's blessing of health or of family, those blessings are meant to be shared. And so if you are studying God's word, and you are realizing great truths, think of what a blessing it would be to share that with other people. And I understand that in personal relationships, we share those things as we speak. We need to be very aware of how our words are an opportunity to bless and not curse, to deliver, convey the truth that God is teaching us. But I think more significant often than those personal conversations is the opportunity to put those blessings down in writing and put them down. Like, you know, I write blog posts. I've written a book. Those are for many people to read. But there's something very special about the opportunity to write to one person or to a couple people. And so that's what I've really picked up from this book, Letters of Charles Haddon Spurgeon, that I need to also be active in writing to individuals that I know, even to my family members sometimes. You know, I for instance, and this is, you know, just a personal thing, but my son just had a birthday in July. And so I wrote him a significant letter for his birthday. He's 14 years old. He's growing up quick. And I decided that's something I'm going to do for all my kids, for my wife, on their birthdays. Write a very significant letter and talk to them about some deep issues of the heart, and talk to them about, you know, some of your desires for them and your desire to see them grow in God's grace and in his love and deepen their knowledge of scripture and increase their faith and those kinds of things. It's vital, and the significance of those kinds of letters, I think, are just very, very underestimated, okay? And also, you know, just in ministry too, is I have opportunity to have influence on the lives of younger men, sometimes older men, but other men in ministry. Every time I write, it's an opportunity to impact their lives by conveying to them the blessings, the understandings that I have found through Scripture. So writing is important, and reading is important in the life of the believer. Concerning ministry, it is a very busy summer for us. Our church just is coming back from church camp right now, and I did not go to church camp because I was just too busy with things going on with ministry here. And one of the things that we are preparing for right now, and I just had a meeting yesterday with our team, but we're going to be doing a missions conference in our church here end of August. Really appreciate your prayers for that missions conference. We invited Dr. Michael Loftus, who was used to be the president of ABWE, and now he works throughout the world with the Discipleship Network. I can't remember exactly. Anyway, Discipleship Network. And we're going to be just focusing on missions. Two-day conference, August, 26th and 27th. And then on the 28th, we're going to have a multi-church meeting and talking about missions. So really, really significant times. Also, I've been writing a lot. I've been writing about some issues in our church. You've noticed that, I'm sure, if you've been on our website. Some things about the demonic world, the spirit world, demon possession, spiritual warfare. In fact, I wrote a short theology for our church about the demonic world, which I post on our website. I'll put a link to that, too, in the show notes here, what you need to know about demons. And honestly, you know, I've just really felt like the spiritual battle has really increased recently. And I don't necessarily see that as a bad thing, because as long as we are up to the fight, right? But so many opportunities to battle spiritually for the gospel. I mean, really, really battles for the gospel. Talking with people about core gospel issues, talking with people and counseling with people who honestly have just been having some demonic, I don't know how to describe it, manifestations, sightings, things like that. Not sightings is not the right word, but definitely demonic activity. And doing what? Pointing them to pure gospel truth and helping them to get their minds and their hearts right and out of fear and onto the gospel, onto Jesus Christ and who he is. So today is Friday, and tomorrow's my day off. I'm working as hard as I can so that I can actually take a day off, because if I don't, I tend to burn out, and I don't want to do that. So today is a work day. I'm working as hard as I can to get my work done today so that I can take tomorrow off, spend some time with family, relax, pray for me, pray for that I would be able to take that time off, because Sundays are usually really intense days, especially with our ministry to the refugees. And so this Sunday, once again, we'll be going out to the refugees, spending time with them. I have a number of people that are interested in, that would like to be baptized, and which is a joy to my heart, but it's hard. It's really hard because people are scared to get baptized. They're scared. They're really scared of what that would mean before other people. And so pray that the gospel truth would just break through these people's heart, that they would say, I don't care, no matter what, I want people to know that I'm a follower of Christ. And so I've been talking with a number of people about baptism, and appreciate your prayers in those regards too. All right, friends. So I think those are just kind of some things that I wanted to share with you about reading, about praying, about writing, about some ministry things that are going on here. Let me see. Am I forgetting anything? Oh, yeah, the book giveaway. So this week on the podcast, I'm going to give away this book, J.C. Ryle, Practical Religion. It's a big book. It is hugely, hugely impactful on my life, and it's a classic, I would say. So again, same thing, leave me a comment in the show notes, go to our website sukofamily.org and find this episode, season 2, episode number 6 of the podcast. Leave me a comment there, and I will announce next week who wins a book. I have 2 books to give away, okay? And I hope that those books can be a blessing to you in your life, and that you can read them and really read them thoughtfully and think about its impact. So that is the podcast for this week, friends. The Now's the Time podcast. I encourage you to check it out on iTunes. Hey, if you can, leave a review there. Give it a rating. If you find that this is something you enjoy listening to, that is a benefit to your spiritual walk, that helps you to live your life right now for Jesus Christ and worship Him and Him alone, then find it on iTunes and leave a review, give a rating there. And, you know, until then, we just want to let you know we appreciate your prayers, because it is a spiritual battle that we feel, that we fight, and we need your prayers in order to continue strong in that fight. So appreciate your prayers. If you're not signed up for our newsletter, go to sukofamily.org/pray, and you can sign up for our newsletter there. And also, we appreciate your financial support. I don't say that much about this, but we have many people who faithfully support us, and what a blessing that is. We can always use your support. If you're not a supporter now, we invite you to become one. Again, go to our website. There's a link on the upper right there that just says support. You can click on that link, or click on the link that says join the team. And we could use your support, because we have a number of projects coming up that require a little extra finances to get them done. All projects that focus on the great need to share the gospel and to make disciples here in Ukraine and really in the Russian-speaking world. So Appreciate your support. Go to sukafamily.org and just click on the support link in the menu there, and you can find out how to support us. If you have any questions, just send me a note. Let me know. I'd love to hear from you. All right, friends. Till next time, be blessed. Worship our one and only God right now.